Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Drive Time to Iris figured large in last night's celebration at the Royal Albert Hall, which was attended by President Higgins and members of the British royal family. Both Olivia O'Leary and Joseph O'Connor had special columns for the Caloura, which, if you missed it, is still available on the RTÉ radio player. Now, Joe is going to be back on Drive Time in May with a special series of summer diaries, while Olivia's political column is broadcast here every Tuesday. Now, last night, Olivia spoke of those little things we've learned to love about Britain.
We like Aintree and Cheltenham and Manchester United and some of the other clubs that are beating Manchester United. And the BBC. We love the BBC. And we've watched it for years without paying a licence fee. And we're utterly unrepentant about that. We regard that, and I think maybe the British do too, as a small down payment on the debts of empire. We like the way the British obey rules. I remember one British visitor taking his boat up the Barrow Waterway in County Carlow, where I'm from. And he... I see, yeah, there are Carlow people here tonight. They found a gang of us swimming in Ballykeenan Lock. We were holding him up. And he pointed to a large notice on the lock gates which said, "No swimming." "Asher, who's going to stop you?" we said. And soon his children had joined us, diving into the deep water. But their father sat doggedly behind the sign that said, "No swimming." The British obey rules, even when they don't have to. We admire the way the British plan. Planning is what pessimists do, and only great imperial powers really have the luxury of being pessimists, of being able not only to have plan A, but plan B and plan C. We are optimists because we can't afford to be anything else. When I worked for a short time for BBC Newsnight, I knew walking into that studio with that massive Newsnight script under my arm that there would be a backup for every item that might go down. And I knew Rome must have been like this, organised, hierarchical, determined. We Irish are different. We're lighter on our feet. We're spontaneous, we're imaginative, and we have all the social ease that comes from living in a small country where everybody knows everybody else. But there are things we could learn from you, the British, just as there are things that you could learn from us. That relationship wasn't possible when the weight of history was at its heaviest between us. Injustice and violence in Northern Ireland and two world wars cast a long shadow. Those thousands of Irishmen who fought in the First War returned home to find their country involved in a struggle for independence, a struggle in which they were on the wrong side. My own grandfather was arrested as an IRA officer after the 1916 rising. He was held in Reading Jail, where his brother, who was in the medical corps of the British Army, came to see him in uniform. The warders couldn't understand why this British officer was coming to see this rebel. There's hardly a family in Ireland that doesn't have a story like that. Many Irish people served in the Second World War as well. My two aunts joined the Queen Alexandra's Imperial Military Nursing Service. Peggy went in after D-Day to nurse in field hospitals in Normandy. Kitty was torpedoed on her way to serve in India, but Kitty survived. She escaped Catholic Ireland. She developed a posh accent. She married an Anglican, became an Anglican, and was made an usher in Canterbury Cathedral. Every Christmas, instead of the usual Holy Mary nativity scene, she'd send us a Christmas card of the cathedral. It used to drop through our letterbox onto the tiled hall floor like a gauntlet. It drove her staunch Irish Catholic brothers and sisters wild. But we loved Kitty for living the life that she wanted to live. And when she died, her Irish family arrived over with fiddles and flutes to give her a proper Irish farewell. She was buried in the War Memorial Garden at Canterbury. As her coffin was carried out of the crypt, the chief boy soprano from the choir sang, "She moved through the fair." Her children said, "We had to have a little bit of Ireland there." And I'm conscious of all the precious bits of Ireland that are buried all over this country. Relations of yours and of mine, dramatists like Sean O'Casey and George Bernard Shaw, songwriters like Thomas Moore, whose music we're going to hear in a moment. I'm conscious of all the Irish people whose lives are now here, people, as the Queen said this week, who have made this country a better place. Well, the Queen... When the Queen came to Ireland, she visited our Island Bridge Memorial to the dead of the World Wars. She helped us to recognise a British side of our history that we had conveniently forgotten. Perhaps President Higgins' visit will highlight the side of Britain's history, the Irish side, that you who are British need to remember. We'll always be different, we'll always be proudly separate, but you who are British will always be a little part of us, and we will always be a little part of you.